All right, lesson 26 that we did last week, just briefly, right? Lesson 26, number one, it primarily deals with the Al-Mu'atal Al-Fa, okay, which is called Al-Mithal. What do we mean by this? We mean that there are verbs that are called Al-Af'al Al-Mu'atalla, which are weak or defective verbs. That means that those verbs have in the beginning, or in the middle, or in the end, a weak letter. What are the weak letters? Alif, Waw, and Ya. The same letters that are used for long vowels. By the way, this is our 42nd session from book number 2. 42. Allahumma musta'an. May Allah help us to finish. What do we mean by mu'tal? We mean the verbs that have a weak letter. Alif, Waw, or Ya. The same letters that are used for long vowels are weak letters. When the root of a verb has one of these weak letters in the beginning, or in the middle, or in the end, this is called Al-Mu'tal. Mu'tal, it means that it has a illa, a defect in it. Mu'tal, illa, defect. There are three types of mu'tal verbs, three basic groups. The first mu'tal verb is called Al-Mithal. That's when the weak letter is in the beginning of it. And the fa of the letter, fa, ayn, lam. Okay, according to the wazn of fa'ala, the fa of the verb, if it's a weak letter, it's called mithal. Okay, you can call it linguistically al-mu'atal al-fa, because the weak letter is in the fa, in the first letter. Its name is mithal. We saw one type of this mithal verb in this first lesson, 26, and that is verbs that begin with the letter waw. There are some mu'tal fa verbs that don't begin with waw, they begin with ya. We will not see them here in this lesson. But the important thing is the mithal, the mu'tal fa verb, it begins with a weak letter, either waw or ya. In this lesson, we will see the waw. The second type of mu'tal verb is the ayn, mu'tal al-ayn. The second letter of the root has a weak letter. This is called Al-Ajwaf. Al-Ajwaf. That's the name of the mu'tal verb that has a weak letter in the middle. It's called Al-Ajwaf. And this is also of two types. It is the Ajwaf Wawi. That means that its weak letter is Waw. Or Al-Ajwaf Ya'i. That means that the weak letter is Ya. So there are two types. The weak letter is Waw. The weak letter is Ya. Sometimes the waw or the ya is immediately seen in the mudari verb, of the mudari form of the verb. Sometimes it's not seen. Not in the madi nor in the mudari, you have to look in the masdar to see what is the weak letter. The original root of it. Because the roots, the verbs have been changed, they have been modified. Okay, the third type is called naqis. And that is fi'l al-mu'tal al-ayn. The last letter of the root is a weak letter. And this is also of two types, wawi and ya'i. And this is the foundation of the next few lessons. That is this lesson 26, lesson 27, and lesson 28 is dealing with these three types of verbs. The mithal, the weak letter is in the beginning. The ajwaf, the weak letter is in the middle. And the naqis, with the weak letter at the end. So, in the key, the English key in the back of the book, on page 83, there's an explanation of these matters, which hopefully you already read. And basically it's what I just got finished saying. Also in the key, it explains to us how the verb, how the mudari form of the verb is derived. And I think that's worth looking at. If you look at the bottom of page, or the second half of the page, 83, it says, as a matter of fact, it also says here, if two radicals are weak, the verb is called lafif. Yani there are some mu'tal verbs that have more than one weak letter, that have two. And this is called lafif. Okay, so this is another type of mu'tal, when it has two defective letters. Okay, after that it says, in this lesson we learned the mithal verbs. We have examples only of verbs having waw in this lesson. But also there are mithal verbs that have a weak letter ya, but we will not see them in this lesson. Okay, so in this lesson we have examples only of verbs having waw as the first radical. For example, waqafa, wazana, and wada'a. He stopped, he weighed, he placed, put something down. There's an abnormality in the mudari of the mithal verb. In other words, in the madi, past tense of the mithal verb, they are normal, they are ordinary. They are conjugated like any other verb. There's nothing unusual about them. Okay? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. But in the mudari form, there's some abnormality in the mithal verb. The first radical waw is lost in the mudari. For example, wazana becomes yazinu, which was originally yawzinu, like yajlisu. And after the omission of the waw, it becomes yazinu. What they're saying here is, for example, the verb jalasa yajlisu. Jalasa yajlisu. You form the mudari by what? Putting a sukun on the first letter of the jim, right, of jalasa. Jalasa yajlisu. You put sukun on the first letter of jalasa. You get yajlisu. So in this verb, wazana, it should be yawzinu. The first letter, waw, should take sukun. But in fact, what happens is the first letter, the weak letter, waw, is deleted. It's omitted. So instead of yawzinu, if you delete the waw, you get what? Yazinu. This is what happens with the mithal when you formulate the mudari. Okay? It should come out as yawzinu. But in the mudari form of the mithal verb, the waw is deleted. It's omitted. The weak letter is deleted. So if you take it out, then you have the form that we should use. That is yazinu. Okay? Turn the page. In the same way, waqafa, the verb waqafa becomes yaqifu, which originally it should have been yawqifu. Because the first letter waw should have taken sukun. It should be yawqifu. But if you omit the weak letter, it becomes yaqifu. And likewise, wajada becomes yajidu, although originally it should have been yawjidu. And wada'a becomes yada'u, although originally it should have been yawda'u. This verb in the mudari takes fatta because it's from those verbs that have fatta in the madi and fatta in the mudari. That's why it's called, it is a group. Meaning A, it has fatta in the madi, and A, fatta in the mudari. So wada'a becomes yada'u. Okay, as far as the command form, the amra from tazinu, it is zin, way. No hamzatul wasl is needed at the beginning, as the verb does not commence with a second letter. The amr of tada'u is da'a, place or put something down. So what do we have here? He said that the amr form of from wazana yazinu is zin, right? Because the fi'l amr always comes from the second person singular form. So it comes from what? Wazana yazinu tazinu. The fi'l amr comes from the second person singular form, right? Tazinu. And what you do is you take off the harf mudari, take off the ta, and make the last letter sakin. So tazinu becomes, take off the ta, it becomes zinu, make it sukun, it becomes zin. Okay, same thing with wada'a, yada'u. If you take off the harf mudari, the ta, and then you make the last letter sakin, from tada'u, it becomes da'u or da. Yani, da'a means to place or to put something somewhere, to put it down. Okay, any question about the fi'l mudari of the mithal verb? Any question about it? Or the fi'l amr? Okay, in the mudari there's an abnormality. The weak letter is deleted. Otherwise, it's conjugated just like all other verbs. Except that the first letter of the radical, the fa, the weak letter is deleted. That's it. That's all there is to the fi'l mithal. No. The original form is yaqifu, okay,
so when we change over, it becomes yaqifu, right?
Naam.
This is the present tense.
Naam.
Okay, now,
then
waqafa is the
maadi,
right?
Waqafa is the
maadi,
naam.
So this form,
no, it's not going to be seen. No. No. What you're going to see is yaqifu. This yaqifu is merely demonstrating what you would expect it to look like if it was normal. But it's not normal, it's abnormal. Okay, this verb in the mudari is abnormal, it's not normal. What you would expect to see is yaqifu, but you're not going to see yaqifu ever unless the person doesn't know Arabic. He might just make up that yaqifu. But if he knows Arabic, he will not say yaqifu. He will say yaqifu.
Okay, so in this
he is standing.
He stood.
Yeah, he stood here yesterday.
Right.
He is standing here right now.
Right.
Now. Okay, quickly, brothers. Point number two. Page 84, English key, the back of the book. Wuleidun is the diminutive form of waladun. The diminutive form is used to indicate smaller size or for endearment. For endearment. Okay, it has the pattern of fu'ailun, meaning waladun on the pattern of fu'ail means the waw takes dhamma, the lam takes fatha, followed by an added ya with sukoon. Added ya with sukoon. So from waladun you get wuleidun. Okay? For example, zahrun becomes, the first letter takes dhamma, the second letter takes fatha, followed by an added ya with sukoon, so you get zuhayrun. From nahrun you get nuhayrun. From abdun you get ubaydun. And from hasanun you get husaynun. Is it clear? Okay, it's just a form, you know, the diminutive form of the verb, of the noun, is on the wazn of fu'ail, for normal nouns. After this, the third point, how huwa dha, here it is, this expression is used when a person or a thing you have been looking for suddenly appears. And instead of saying, hadha huwa, hadha is broken up, and you say, ha huwa dha. Instead of saying hadhi hiya or hadhihi hiya, you say ha hiya thi. Instead of saying hadha ana, you say ha ana tha. That's it. It's not a common expression that you're going to hear much. Number four, yajibu is the mudari of wajaba. Yajibu is the mudari of wajaba. So yajibu literally means it is necessary, it is mandatory, it is obligatory. Wajaba, it's obligatory, it should be, should happen. This expression yajibu is used with the preposition ala. So you say yajibu alayna, yajibu alayka, yajibu alayhim. Huh? It's used with the preposition ala in reference to whoever you're talking about. Yajibu alayna, we're talking about ourselves. It's obligatory upon us. Yajibu alayhim, it's obligatory upon them. Yajibu alayka, it's obligatory upon you individually. Okay? So you say, for example, here, I'm sorry, the first example they gave is yajibu alayna an nafhama al-Qur'ana. They translate as, you should understand the Quran. I would translate as, yajibu alayna, it is obligatory upon us to understand the Quran. Hear the phrase, hear the phrase, an nafhama is the fa'il of yajibu. An nafhama, this expression, is the fa'il of yajibu. What is obligatory? It's obligatory that you must understand something. In this case, the Quran. What is obligatory? That you understand the Quran. Here are some more examples. يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ أَنْتَ أَنْ تَرْجِعَ غَدًا. You must return tomorrow. Or it's obligatory upon you to return tomorrow. يَجِبُ عَلَيَّ. يعني it's obligatory upon me. عَلَيَّ يَا الْمُتَكَلَّمْ. يَجِبُ عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَذْهَبَ. What is obligatory upon me? That I must go. إِلَى الرِّيَاضِ الْيَوْمَ. Today. I must go to Riyadh today. Yani it is obligatory upon me to go to Riyadh today. Is it clear? Yajibu is used with the preposition ala. The negative particle is used with the second verb. For example, if you want to say it's obligatory upon someone to not do something. It's obligatory upon them to not do something. Then the negation is on the second verb, not on yajibu. If you're saying it's obligatory, but what is obligatory? It's obligatory that you not do something. Do not do something. Then you say, for example, يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ لَا يَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْفَصْلِ. يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ لَا يَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْفَصْلِ. It is obligatory upon him to not leave the classroom. He should not leave the classroom. Meaning, it's obligatory upon him that he do not do this. What is obligatory? That he do not do something. But la yajibu, if la is used on the first verb, yajibu, it means it is not obligatory upon you to do something. They translate it as need not. You need not do it. It is not obligatory. It is not mandatory. It is not necessary for you to do something. So for example, you say, la yajibu alayna. It is not obligatory upon us. An nahdura hadha darsa. It is not obligatory upon us to attend this lesson. So, depending on where you use the particle of negation, la, it will change the meaning. It will change it to, it is not obligatory to do something, or it is obligatory to not do something. So be careful how you use la with this expression. La on the front means it's not obligatory. La on the end means it is obligatory to not do something. Okay, number five, we have learned one of the patterns of masdar, that is fu'ul, like sujood and ruku and khuruj and nuzul. We learned this previously. Now we learn two more patterns. One is fi'al with kasra. I'm sorry, it should be fa'al. I'm sorry, this is a mistake. One of them is fa'al, like dhahabun, going from dhahaba, and najahun, success from najaha. And the other one, the word iyabun means to return. It is from aba ya'ubu, to return. It is on the pattern of fi'alun with kasra. Yani the first one of those patterns is fa'alun with fatta, and the second pattern is fi'alun with kasra. So the first pattern, fa'alun, is like dhahab, going from the verb dhahaba, and najah, success from the verb najaha. And the second one is iyab on the pattern of fi'al, which means to return from aba ya'ubu. And also nikah from nakaha yankihu, to marry. Okay, so this is a masdar, right? It's a masdar. A masdar is a noun that has the meaning of action but does not indicate time. So these are two more patterns of masdars. Before we had the pattern fu'ul, like sujood and ruku', and now we have fa'al, like dhahab and najah, and fi'al, like nikah and iyab. The last point in this lesson, last week's lesson, aqallu is comparative of qalilun. Yani comparative means ism tafdil, like akbaru, asgaru, and like this. Okay, so when the noun that it comes from has a shadda letter, a mushadda letter, then the form of the ism tafdil is modified slightly, it's irregular. So aqallu is the comparative form of qalilun. Yani qalilun means little, aqallu means the least. It is originally aqlalu. Yani qaf, lam, lam should be ala wazn af'alu, should be on the wazn of af'alu, should be aqlalu. Aqlalu, like akbaru and asgaru. But in this case, because there's a double letter, then what happens is the sukoon is deleted, and the fatha from the first lam of the doubled letter is transferred to the second letter, the qaf here, which was sukoon, it becomes a fatha. So instead of aqlalu, we got aqallu. The lam is doubled, and its fatha from the first lam is transferred back to the qaf, the second letter. So this is similar to akbaru and ajmalu, etc. But as the second and third radicals are identical because of the shadda, the third radical has been assimilated to the second. Meaning, the second and third radical is written with a shadda, so you write them once and use the shadda, and the vowel from the first one is transferred to the qaf. And the next two, they share the vowel of one of them. Aqlalu is the original form that it should normally be in, aqlalu. But because that they have two lambs back to back, we write them with shadda.
So the original would not be
used. It would not be used. The original form of it is not used. No, we don't say aqlalu. But rather we say aqallu. The same thing with the word, for example, ladheeth, right? Ladheeth has shadda, has thal and thal, right? Lamb, thal, thal. So originally it should be al. Al-Dhadu, Al-Dhadu. But if you join the two dhals together and take the fatha from the first one and put it on the lamb, the first letter, you get Al-Dhadu. Instead of Al-Dhadu, you say Al-Dhadu. The same thing like this, Aqallu, Al-Dhadu.
So you say if I say Khalil, it's little in general. Khalil.
Yeah, Khalil means little, a small amount of something.
And the other form you say is Aqallu.
No, aqallu means less. This is little and this one is less. Like akbaru means more, greater, less. It means less. You may use it with men. You don't have to use it with men all the time. You can use it with men or without men. Depends on what you're trying to express. It depends on what you're trying to express. Okay? I'm trying to think of another example. Khafif. The word khafif, right? Khafif, it has two fa's, right? So the original form should be akhfafu, right? Akhfafu, ala wazn af'alu. Akhfafu. But if we join the two fa's together, you get, right? Instead of akhfafu, you get akhaffu. Akhaffu, aladhu, aqallu. Huh? Ashaddu, naam, shadeed. Shadeed, right? It has two dells at the end. Sha, del, del. Sheen, del, del. Shadeed. So the original form should be ashdadu. Should be ashdadu. Ashdadu. But we don't say ashdadu, we say what? Ashaddu. Ashaddu, aqallu, akhaffu, aladhu, like this, okay? So, just if you look at it, inshallah, it will become clear. It's not that difficult now. Yeah, it's a way of pronouncing it. The proper way in Arabic is like this. Even though in your mind, the pattern tells you it should be aqlalu. But in Arabic, properly, you have to say aqallu. Okay, they changed the pronunciation of it. Maybe, Allahu A'lam, but because they like, if there are two letters back to back, the same letter, they like to write them with shadda. So they eliminated writing it twice, you write it one time. That's different. That's different. Yeah, that's idgham. That's idgham. Yeah, that's idgham. That's a little bit different. But it's related. Yeah, it's for pronunciation also now. For pronunciation now. When some letters are merged into other letters, that's called idgham. So that letter is not pronounced. It's merged into the other letter is doubled. Naam. That's correct. Naam. Alright, so this is the end of last week's lesson. I really don't want to go through the lesson again. But if somebody has a specific question, we can look at it. Otherwise, we're going to go on to the next lesson. If there's any specific question. This was last week's lesson. We read the key. We read the dialogue. And we did the exercises. All of them, or at least most of them. I'm not sure if we did the last exercise. I think we did. And last exercise is just the master, the hab. Now, Fadl. Ism Tasghir, now. How would you know that? The Habun, you said? Oh, Zahrun. Zuhair. Yeah. How would you know how to formulate it, or how would you know that it is Ism Tasghir? How would you know that it is? Well, you might not know. I mean, you know the wazn is fu'ail, right? So that wazn would be a hint to you that if you see a word on that wazn, that is probably ism tasghir. If you see that wazn, if you see a word with that wazn, you see a word, for example, suhail. Suhail, that's the wazn fu'ail. Huh? So if you see that wazn, probably it's ism tasghir. Probably, but it's not absolute that every time it has to be. But generally speaking, yes, it's going to be ism tasghir. You know from the wazn. How do we know words? How do we recognize words that we don't know from the wazn? You know there are certain wazns for certain things. But those wazns are not absolute 100% of the time. It might be 99% of the time, but sometimes there could be exceptions. So if you see the wazn, fu'ail, then probably it is tasghir. Probably. 9 times out of 10. If you don't know the word, you can assume that it is. You, more than likely, you will be correct. Ra'ita? No. Ra'ita is a verb. Yeah. Ism tasghir is pronouns. Mm-hmm. No, Ra'ita is not the ism tasghir. No. No, it's different. Ra'ita, no. It should be a noun that begins with a dhamma followed by a diphthong. Fu'ail. Fataya. Like Jubail, right? You see the word Jubail. There's a place in Saudi Arabia called Jubail, right? You never heard of it? Jubail. It's a famous place in Saudi Arabia. Not famous, but anyway. Jubail, right? Jubail is either wazn Fu'ail. Jubail. From which word? Jebel. From Jebel. Naam. 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 Well, a small mountain. Yeah, a small mountain. I mean, something small. Not that small, maybe, but yeah. Now, so this wazn usually identifies a noun that is on the, that is musaghar, yani ism tasghir. Naam. Any other question? Naam. Okay, listen. The next lesson that we want to take requires a lot of work and focus and memorization. Okay, there are a lot of irregularities in these verbs. A lot of irregularities. You must learn them. You must learn them. Okay, there's no escape from it. These verbs are very important. They are commonly used in Arabic language. You will be thoroughly confused if you don't understand them. So it's mandatory to understand them. Okay? What we will do is that we will look at the verb as it is in its original form. And we will see how it is modified to the form that it should be used in. We will look at how it happened. What happened? How did it go from what it should be to what it is now? Okay? That may help you. If you understand how it happened, the process, it may help you to really grasp these verbs. If you don't understand how it happened, then you just have to memorize them. If a person just has an excellent memory, they might just memorize the forms. Khalas, they don't have to worry about it. But if you don't have an excellent memory, I suggest that you try to understand the process. How it works. Okay? It does require some time, requires focus, concentration, repetition, drilling yourself in them, reading it over and over and over again. Sometimes you just have to read the verbs continuously. Like you read a set of verbs in one form, and then in its next form, just keep repeating it until your tongue and your brain becomes accustomed to that pattern. And then if you say it wrong, something in your brain or even your tongue will remind you. It doesn't sound right. Your tongue will not be able to say it. Believe me, if you keep repeating something over and over again, you say it a different way, your tongue will stop. You will feel something. It's not right. Okay, or your brain will stop you. Because that pattern that you formulate in your brain, if you oppose it, you differ from it, alarm is going to go off. And you're going to know something wrong. That comes from repetition. Depending on your memory, you can repeat it more or less. The better your memory, the less you have to repeat it. And the opposite is also true. If your memory is not very, very good, you may have to repeat it a lot of times. But eventually it will stick. MashaAllah, I have taught this book several times before, and people get it eventually. But it depends how much time you put into it, how well you get it, or how quickly you get it. Okay, so let's look at lesson number 27, the English key, in the back of the book, on page 87. Page 87. In this lesson we learn the following. Number one, the mu'tal al-ayn, or ajwaf verbs. These are two different expressions that's used to refer to the same verb. It's called al-mu'tal al-ayn, meaning the weak letter is in the ayn, the second radical. And it's also called ajwaf. Ajwaf. It's from jawf, means something inside. In the middle of the verb, in the middle letter, it's defective. From the jawf. Okay? As we have seen earlier, these verbs have waw or ya as the second radical. It has waw or ya. Waw and ya are weak letters. So that means that there's two types of ajwaf verbs. There's ajwaf that has waw as the weak letter, and there's ajwaf that has ya as the weak letter. So these are two different groups of ajwaf. So we said that the mu'tal verbs are three types. Mithal, ajwaf, and naqis. Whether the weak letter is in the beginning, middle, or end. These are also called mu'tal al-fa, mu'tal al-ayn, mu'tal al-lam. So there are three main groups. And these groups are further subdivided. The ajwaf is divided into two subgroups. Al-wa'i and al-ya'i. Al-wa'i means the weak letter in it is waw. And al-ya'i means the weak letter is ya. Now, this waw or ya weak letter, it may not be detectable immediately until you look at the mudari form. Then you will see that weak letter show up. Sometimes, it may not even show up in the mudari form, but it will only show up in the masdar. So as we go through these, you will notice. How will we know is it wawi or yai? We will see it in the mudari or we will see it in the masdar. The infinitive form, the noun that comes from that verb. Alright? So, these verbs, there's wawi and there's yai. For example, from the right side you have qala yaqulu. Qala yaqulu. In the madhi, we don't know what's the weak letter in this verb. It looks like it's alif, right? But this verb originally, qala, its past tense form is originally qawala. Qawala. It's originally qawala. But it has been modified to qala. So in the madhi, you don't know what is the weak letter. It's not alif. The weak letter in this verb is not alif. The weak letter in this verb is waw. But it has been modified from qawala to qala. So you don't know what is the weak letter from the madhi. But when you look at the madhi, it shows up. The mudari, right? You see qala. Yaqulu. That waw in the mudari is telling us that the weak letter in this verb is waw. In the madi, it was originally there, but it has been modified. It was qawala yaqulu. Qawala yaqulu. So yaqulu tells us that the weak letter in this verb is waw. So this is an ajwaf mu'tal ayn verb that is from the group of wawi. After this we have zara yazuru. And likewise, we don't see in the madi, we don't see the weak letter. But we see it in the mudari, yazuru, that is waw. We have ba'a yabi'u. And again, the weak letter in this verb is seen in the mudari, it's ya. So this is a yay. But we don't see it in the Madi and ba, because ba was originally ba ya ah, but the ya has been modified to alif, so it became ba. But in the Mudari it came back again, the ya, ya b o. So the weak letter is ya. Then we have sara yasiru, like the previous one. It was originally sa ya ra, but it was modified to sara. But in the Mudari we see the ya coming back, sara yasiru. So this is from the ya'i group. Now we have nama yanamu. Here is a case where we don't see it in the Madi or the Mudari. Originally, nama yanamu, originally it was na wa ma. Na wa ma. So the weak letter here is wow. But we don't even see it in the Mudari. Nama yanamu. But in the Masdar, naum, the wow shows up. So we know from the Masdar that it's nama yanamu. This is an ajwaf verb that its weak letter is originally wow. So it's from the wow-y group. And the same thing applies to khafa yakhafu. We don't see its weak letter not in the Madi or in the Mudari, but rather originally it should have been a wow in the Madi. It should have been kha wa fa. So the weak letter is wow and it comes up in the Masdar khawfun. Khawfun. Naam. No, not necessarily, because the masdar, for example, khawf, is not from the masdars that we have taken. It's not fa'ul, it's not fa'al, it's not fi'al. Okay, but there are many more wazns for masdars, a lot of wazns for masdars. So far, we have seen three of them only. But later on, we will see a lot more of them. In this book, we will see a lot more. But maybe you don't know the masdar, you have to look it up in the dictionary. Okay, if you don't know what is the root of this, what type of mu'tal verb this is, you know that it's ajwaf, but you don't know if it's wawi or ya, you look in the dictionary. In the dictionary, the first thing you're going to see in the dictionary, you're going to see the past tense verb, the present tense verb, and you're going to see the masdar. That's what they're going to give you in the beginning. Before they give you words that come from it, they're going to give you the masdar. So it can tell you right there. You look in the dictionary, you're going to see khafa yakhafu, khawfun. You don't know, you have to look it up in the dictionary. Or you have to ask Abu Bakr. Huh? Or you have to ask Musa. Fadda, fadda. Or you have to ask Salahuddin. Whatever you do, don't ask me. Now. Yeah. Is na wa ma.
Right, na wa.
Yeah.
Na wa ma. Okay, na wa ma. So,
yeah.
Okay, so this
is
the weaker in this word
here,
the
wow. Nam, the wow. Yeah. Nam. And ba, the weak letter is also, yeah. Khawf, wow. Khafa yakhafu is wow. It's kha wa. It's originally kha wa fa.
Right. So in other words, the wow is the
wow. Wow. Is yeah. It's not in the Madi or the Mudari, it comes in the Masdar. Tayyib. Okay. That being said, what is the main thing that we're saying here? We're saying that there's two types of ajwaf verbs. Some of them, the weak letter is wow, some of them are yeah. Usually you know whether it's waw or ya from the Mudari. Sometimes it may not show up in the Madi or the Mudari. Therefore you have to look in the Zakalakha. Therefore you have to look in the Masdar. You have to look in the dictionary, you see Madi, Mudari, Masdar. Alright. After this, we're saying here now, these verbs have undergone certain changes as explained below. Qala is originally qawala. Yaqulu is originally yaqwulu. Yani ala wazn yaf'ulu. It's originally yaqwulu. The wow The waw from the past tense, qawala, has been modified to qala, and the waw from the mudari, yaqwulu, that waw has also been deleted. So when you deleted the waw, its vowel goes back to the qaf. So it becomes, I mean, it's not really deleted, but it is, this vowel is changed. It becomes, instead of yaqwulu, it becomes yaqulu. It becomes yaqulu, meaning its vowel is transferred to the qaf. And likewise, we have sara is originally sa ya ra. It's modified to sara, and the mudari is yasiru, which is originally yes yi ru. Yes yi ru. It becomes, if you move the vowel from the ya to the sin, it becomes yasiru. These are clear. The waw and the ya are indicated in the mudari. As far as nama, it is originally na-wi-ma. Na-wi-ma, which is modified to become nama. And the mudari is yanamu, which was originally yan-wa-mu. Yan-wa-mu. Now here, we have a few changes taking place here. Because yan wa, when the fatha is transferred from the waw to the noon, that waw following it is also transformed from a waw to an alif. So it becomes, from yan wamu, it becomes yanamu. Okay, what happened here? The fatha from the waw moves back to the noon, and the waw is transferred or transformed into an alif. Becomes yanwamu, becomes yanamu. These verbs have undergone some more changes at the time of the isnad to mutaharrik pronouns. Okay, so what we're saying is that there's some transformation in the original madhi form, as well as some transformation in the original mudari form. And now they're saying that whenever you connect these verbs to the pronouns for conjugating the verb, there are more changes, more modifications, more alterations that are taking place. Yani, more abnormalities. Alright? Now, notice that these abnormalities, he said, he specified or limited them to when the verb is connected to the mutaharrik pronouns. Look at the footnote number 2. It says, a mutaharrik pronoun is a pronoun which is followed by a vowel, like na or ta, ti, and tu. A pronoun, right, that is the fa'il of the verb that has a vowel. And a second pronoun is vowelless, like the waw in dhahabu. The waw, okay, listen. Okay. Oh, okay, where I'm located at? I'm located, I don't know, it's on page 87 in this book. It should be a footnote on the bottom of the page. Okay, so what we're saying is that, for example, the verb dhahabtu, right? Dhahabtu, the pronoun is a mutaharrik pronoun. Why? It has a vowel, tu. Dhahabti, dhahabta. These pronouns, right, represent the fa'il of the verb, right? Dhahabtu, ana dhahabtu. Dhahabta, anta dhahabta. Dhahabti, anti dhahabti. These pronouns, dhahabtu, dhahabta, dhahabti, they have a vowel. These are called mutaharrik pronouns. As opposed to the waw in dhahabu. The waw is the fa'il, right? Representing hum. Dhahabu. The waw is the fa'il. That waw doesn't have a verb. So that's not a mutaharrik pronoun. Okay, a mutaharrik pronoun is the pronoun that has a vowel. Pronoun that does not have a vowel is not a mutaharrik pronoun. So what they're saying here is, when the verb is connected to a mutaharrik pronoun, it's going to have some additional abnormalities. But when it's connected to a pronoun that's not mutaharrik, then it's not going to have any additional abnormalities. It's going to be normal then. The rest of it is going to be easy. Alright? So, too many times, we're going to see the mutaharrik pronoun causing problems. A lot of problems. So he says here, all the pronouns in the madi are mutaharrik. All the pronouns in the madi are mutaharrik, except those in ذهبَ, ذهبوا, and ذهبت. Except ذهبَ, ذهبوا, and ذهبت. In the mudari, only the noon, yani the feminine, plural, second and third person forms of the verbs, the noon and niswa, only the noon is mutaharrik. And it is in يذهبنا and تذهبنا. So, to summarize, the mutaharrik pronouns are pronouns that have a vowel. In the madi, most of the pronouns are mutaharrik, in the past tense. In the mudari, only the feminine, third person and second person plural pronouns, the noon and niswa, in yadhabna and tadhabna, they're the only ones in the mudari that are mutaharrik. In the madi, most of them are mutaharrik. In the mudari, only the feminine, plural, second and third person, plural, noon and niswa is mutaharrik. Okay, these are just general rules that you have to read and try to conceptualize, try to memorize, but as we go through the conjugation of the verb, then you'll see it in action. Okay, here in this footnote, he's just trying to alert us to certain rules that if you remember those rules, it will help you to know yani, which forms of the verb are going to have more abnormalities and which ones are not. Okay, page 88. The second radical is omitted at the time of its isnad to the mutaharrik pronouns. Okay, this is showing you what? This is the first abnormality that we're going to see when the mutaharrik pronoun comes into play. The second radical is omitted at the time of its isnad to the mutaharrik pronouns. For example, you have taqulna and you have yaqulna. Okay, these are what? These are the feminine, plural, second and third person verb forms. Antunna taqulna and hunna yaqulna. These are the two verb forms in the mudari that have mutaharrik pronouns, noon and niswa, the two feminine plurals, second and third person. And you see the same thing for the verb sara yasiru. You have tasirna and yasirna. Tasirna is antunna, tasirna. And yasirna is hunna yasirna. And likewise, we have the same thing for nama yanamu. We have the feminine plurals, second and third person, antunna, tanamna, and hunna yanamna. Naam, akhi. I skipped something? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I went from the footnote to the next page, huh? All right. Jazakallah khair. I guess I'm getting tired. Allahu musta'an. Or maybe I'm in a hurry to finish this lesson, right? Skip some of it. Okay, we can't be in a hurry to skip this. Okay, let me go back. Okay, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that after we look. After this footnote, the footnote is in reference to the statement, these verbs undergo some more changes at the time of their isnad to mutaharrik pronouns. Okay, and then we read the footnote, which shows us what is a mutaharrik pronoun, what are the mutaharrik pronouns in the past tense, and what are the mutaharrik pronouns in the present tense. What is important is that when the verb is connected to the mutaharrik pronouns, there's going to be additional irregularities or abnormalities. These changes are as follows. What are the abnormalities? What are the irregularities? The following. In the madi, we have A. If the ajwaf verb is of AU group, if the ajwaf verb is of AU group, meaning it has fatha in the madi and dhamma in the mudari, the first radical takes dhamma at the time of its isnad to mutaharrik pronouns. For example, you say qulna, qulta, qultum, qulti, qultunna, qultu, and qulna. What do we have happening here? We have the verb qala yaqulu. Qala yaqulu, right? So qala, if you conjugating the past tense verb, you say qala and you say qalat, right? Qala, qalat, qalu. That's because these forms of the verb qala and qalat and qalu are not mutaharrik pronouns. But with the mutaharrik pronouns, the rest of the pronouns that are mutaharrik, ta, ti, tu, tum, and tunna, all these, you're going to see some change. So what's the change here? Originally you had qala, and you had qalat, and you had qalu, with a fatha, right? But when the mutaharrik pronouns come into play, that fatha is become dhamma. Why does it become dhamma? Because in the mudari we see that it's qala yaqulu. So that yaqulu is an indication to us that it's going to take a dhamma in the past tense verbs when they're connected to mutaharrik pronouns. So we're not going to say qaltu, qalti. We're going to say qultu, qulti, qultu, qulti, qulta. Okay, so originally it was a fatha, qala yaqulu, it was a fatha, but that vowel in the mudari, since it's a fatha dhamma type verb, it has fatha in the madi and dhamma in the mudari, when the mutaharrik pronouns come into play, even though the original madi takes fatha, here it's going to change to a dhamma. Yani originally in the madi it should be a fatha vowel, but with the mutaharrik pronouns, that fatha is going to change to a dhamma. So this verb really, its form is fatha dhamma, meaning in the past tense it should have fatha. Like verbs like dakhala yadkhulu. Dakhala yadkhulu is fatha dhamma verb. It has fatha in the past tense and it has dhamma in the present tense, right? So dakhala yadkhulu, you say dakhaltu, it remains fatha. Dakhaltu, dakhalta, dakhalti. But these verbs, it's not going to remain fatha. It's going to change to a dhamma when it's connected to mutaharrik. Okay? In other words, normally in a past tense verb that is a fatha dhamma verb, fatha in the madi, dhamma in the mudari, that fatha is going to remain fatha when you conjugate it. Okay? Dakhala yadkhulu, you're going to say dakhaltu. You're just going to add the suffix to it. Dakhaltu, dakhalta, dakhalti. But it's going to remain da, kha, the fatha remains there. But in this verb, even though it was a fatha in the beginning, qala, qalat, qalu, but when you add the mutaharrik pronouns, that fatha is going to become dhamma. All of its conjugation with mutaharrik pronouns in the past tense is going to be dhamma. You're going to say qultu, qulta, qulti, qultum, qultunna. Okay, so it should have been a fatha. So what's irregular? Instead of being fatha, it's going to be a dhamma. That's the first irregularity that you're going to see with this Ajwath verb when it is wawi and it's from the form of fatta dhamma. Yani fatta in the madi, dhamma in the mudari. Naam, Salahuddin.
In the mudari, did you say from
Well, there's a hint there that this irregularity is coming from there.
Right, is that for all of them? Is that for...
We will see that it's not for all of them. It's not for all of them, no. It depends on which type of verb from the Ajwaf Waw it is. Okay, let's go on. So this is one irregularity. Okay, with the mutaharrik pronoun, it becomes qulna with a dhamma, qulta, qultum, qulti, qultunna, qultu, and qulna. As against the original fatha, qalat, qalu, and qala. Those originally, that verb in the madi should have been a fatha. If the verb is of the group AI, yani fatha in the madi, kasra in the mudari, or IA, kasra in the madi, fatha in the mudari, like for example, shariba yashrabu. Shariba yashrabu is kasra dhamma. In the madi it has kasra, and the mudari has fatha. Okay, if it is of either of these two types, AI, like jalasa yajlisu, jalasa yajlisu, it's fatha in the madi, kasra in the mudari, jalasa yajlisu, right? That's AI group. IA group is like shariba yashrabu. It has kasra in the madi, fatha in the mudari. both of these, if the verb is I, is AI or IA groups, the first radical takes kesra. The first radical is going to take a kesra, even though in the Maadi it should have been a fatta. Sara, sarat, saru. That fatta, when the mutaharrik pronouns come into play, it's going to become a dhamma. You're not going to say sar tu. You're going to say it's going to become a kesra. You're going to say sirtu, sirta, sirti, sirtum, sirtunna. Okay? This is for which groups? This is for both AI and IA groups. Verbs that have fatta in the madi and kasra in the mudari, or kasra in the madi and fatta in the mudari. Both of these groups are going to act like this. Meaning, it's going to be a kasra in the madi conjugation with mutaharrik pronouns. It's going to be a kasra. Okay, we'll see some examples, inshallah. For example, these two groups, an example of it is the verb sara yasiru. Sara yasiru is fatta kasra group. As fatta in the madi, kasra in the mudari. So sara with the non-mutaharrik verb is going to be sara, sarat, and saru. With fatta, that's its original form, fatta kasra. But with the mutaharrik pronouns, it's going to be sirna. It's not going to be sarna, it's going to be sirna, sirta, sirti, sirtunna, sirtu, and sirna. Huh? Good? Okay, same thing with nama yanamu. Nama yanamu. The original form should be nama, namat, and namu. But here we see with the mutaharrik pronouns, it's going to be nimna, nimta, nimtum, nimtunna, nimtu, and nimna. This is an example of which type of verb? This is an example of kasra fatta. Meaning that in the madi it has kasra and the mudari has fatta. Because this verb, nama, is originally na-wi-ma. 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 That means it has kasra in the madi and then it becomes fatta in the mudari. Na-wi-ma. It's nama yanamu. Alright? So originally it should have had kasra in the madi and fatta in the mudari. So this type, along with the one that has fatta kasra, this is kasra fatta, both of them are going to take kasra with the mutaharrik verb. Both of them are going to take kasra. So you say, nim na, nimta, nimtum, nimti, nimtunna, nimtu, and nimna. Again, what I'm saying here is that this ajwaf verb here, this is the second type of ajwaf verb, right? This ajwaf verb, we're talking about two different groups of them. Some of them are the AI group and some of them are the IA group. What do we mean by AI group? What do we mean by IA group? AI group, we mean that the madi originally has a fatta and the mudari originally has a kasra. Okay, like jalasa yajlisu. Yajlisu has kasra in the mudari. So that's AI group. Okay, jalasa has fatta in the madi, yajlisu has kasra in the mudari. That's what we mean by AI group. It has an A in the madi, and it has a fatta in the madi and a kasra in the mudari. What do we mean by IA group? We mean that in the madi it has kasra, and the mudari has fatta. Like shariba has kasra in the madi, yashrabu has fatta in the mudari. Okay, so what do we mean by AI group? IA group, we mean the vowel in the madi is A, is fatta, and the mudari is I. Or the vowel in the mudari is kasra, and in the mudari is fatta. That's what we mean by AI and IA group. These types of verbs, from the ajwaf, defective verbs, from them, when you add a mutaharrik pronoun, the vowel is going to be kasra. So you say sirtu and you say nimtu with kasra, even though originally you would think that the vowel should be from sara yasiru, it should be a fatha, sara, sarta, sartu, but it's not sartu, it's sirtu. And the same thing with nama yanamu, you would think that it should be, you would think that it should be nama yanamu, originally is nawima, nawima. Okay, so it's going to take kasra here, it's going to be okay in the non-mutaharrik pronouns, it is going to be nama with a fatta, it's going to be namat with fatta, it's going to be namu with fatta, but with the mutaharrik it's going to go back to kasra and you're going to say nimtu, nimta, nimti. Alright, some of this, you know, if this is the first time you're seeing these verbs, some of this may be a little bit overwhelming. But if you go back and read the key a few more times and take it carefully, inshallah, it will become a little bit more clear to you. And as we look at examples and exercises, inshallah, it will become more clear to you. And as you begin to memorize some of them, it will be easier, inshallah. The second radical is omitted, as we have seen in the above examples. We're saying that the second radical is omitted in these defective ajwaf verbs. The second radical is omitted. It's not even there in the conjugation of the verb. It's gone. The waw or the ya is gone in both of these types of verbs. Okay, so what we discussed up until here, we discussed the abnormalities that take place in the past tense conjugation of the verb. Past tense conjugation of the verb. These are the abnormalities that are taking place. Okay? First thing, the weak letter is being deleted. Second thing, the vowel with the mutaharrik verb is going to be dhamma in the AU group, or it's going to be kasra in AI or IA group. It's going to be a dhamma in the AU group, and it's going to be a kasra in AI or IA group. All of this is related to the madhi. Now, as far as the mudari, it has its own abnormalities. The mudari has its own abnormalities, irregularities. The second radical is in the mudari. In the mudari, we're at the bottom of page 87. It's underlined, in the mudari. What happens in the mudari? What we talked about so far is in the mudari. Now we want to see what happens in the mudari. In the mudari, the marfu of the mudari, when it is marfu'un, as opposed to when it is majzoom. There are different abnormalities when it's marfu'un, and different abnormalities when it's majzoomun. Allah musta'an. Huh? We need Allah's help? That's a fact, Yaqi. Allah musta'an. Allah is the one from whom help is sought. Okay, we're looking now at the mudari irregularities when it's mudari marfu'un. All of what we're talking about now is mudari marfu'un. We will see something different in mudari majzoom. In the mudari marfu'un, the second radical is omitted at the time of its isnad to the mutaharrik pronoun. The second radical is omitted. Like for example, you say hunna yaqulna, yaqulna. So what is the second radical? The second radical is the weak letter, the waw, is deleted. And the reason why it's deleted, you might be able to guess. If it was originally yaqulna, what would be the problem there? Huh? Iltiqa sakinain. So it's deleted. Alright, so that irregularity is easy for us to recognize and to understand and to implement the rule concerning it. Because we will immediately see what? We'll see iltiqa sakinain. So we delete the weak letter. So it becomes yaqulna. And likewise, taqulna would have been originally taqulna. And it would be iltiqa sakinain, so the waw is deleted. Okay, likewise, in the verb sara yasiru, we have yasirna, and we have tasirna. And again, the reason for this is because of the weak letter. It originally should have been يَسِيرْنَا يَسِيرْ with a ya following the seen with kasra. And that means that ya with sukun will be followed by ra with sukun, iltiqa sakinain, so the weak letter is deleted in both yasirna and tasirna. And then we have for the verb nama yanamu, we have yanamna and tanamna. And this should have been yanam, yanamna. So we have alif with sukun, followed by meem with sukun, iltiqa sakinain, the alif is deleted. So instead of yanamna, we say yanamna. And instead of tanamna, we say tanamna. So the irregularity here is in reference to what? The weak letter coming up followed by a sakin letter. Due to iltiqa sakinain, the weak letter is deleted. That's pretty easy, right? This is in the mudari form. After this we have, in the marfu'an form. After this we have the mudari majzoom. In the mudari majzoom, the second radical is omitted. In the following four forms, in addition to the two mentioned under the mudari marfu'an. And in the mudari marfu'an, there are two forms of the verb that there's some irregularity, right? Those two forms are the two feminine plurals, second and third person. Now, in addition to them, in the majzoom form, there are four more forms of the verb that also have irregularity. That makes a total of how many? Six. So in the mudari, alhamdulillah, it's easy. Only two forms are irregular. In the majzoom, in the marfu'un form, two forms are irregular. In the majzoom, six forms are irregular. The first two are due to what? The weak letter being followed by the lam of the verb, which is always going to be, in the two feminine plurals, the lam of the verb, fa'ala, the lam is always going to be sakin, because it's preceding the noon and niswa. It's always going to be sakin. So the weak letter before that has to be deleted. Okay, so we know why that one is, right? In the majzoom form, we also have a sakin letter, right? Because in the mudari, the mudari verb, when it's majzoom, then the last letter is going to take a sukun. So that sakin can't also, the sakin letter can't be preceded by a sakin letter. So again, in the majzoom form, because we made the last letter sakin, because it's majzoom, now we have another case of iltiqa sakinain, so the weak letter is also deleted in these extra four forms. In the mudari majzoom, the second radical is omitted in the following four forms, in addition to the two mentioned under the mudari marfu'un. So for example, in the verb yaf'alu, the form of yaf'alu, this is the wazn for the form yaf'alu. On that form you have qala yaqulu. Wa alaykum salam. Qala yaqulu. So yaqulu, if you make it majzoom, it will become lam yaqul. Huh? Yaqulu. 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 Right? If you make the lam sakin because it's majzoom, then you have the lam with sakin preceded by the waw of the sakin, the weak letter. Because you already had sukun on the waw in yaqulu. Now if you make the lam sakin too, you have two weak letters. So you have to, you have two sakin letters, so you have to delete the weak letter. So yaqulu or yaqul becomes yaqul. Becomes lam yaqul. And the same thing with yasiru becomes, if you make the ra sakin, it becomes lam yasir. With two letters of sakin, so you delete the weak letter ya, it becomes lam yasir. And the same thing with nama yanamu, right? You say yanamu, if you make it sakin, if you make it majzoom, it becomes lam yanam. So you have an alif, which is sakin, followed by a meem, which is sakin. So you delete the weak letter alif, and it becomes lam yanam. I hope that it is clear. Okay, in these forms, the same thing is happening, except that here, in the first two forms of the mudari, those two forms of the feminine plural, second and third person plurals, They end with Noon and Niswa, and Noon and Niswa is always preceded by a letter, the Sakin. Alright? So, because of that Sakin letter, right, the lamb that precedes Noon and Niswa, because of that Sakin letter, if it's preceded by a weak letter, which also has Sukun, you have to delete the weak letter. Here, the reason is the same reasoning. But the last letter of the verb is Sakin because it's Majzoom. And it's preceded by a weak letter that has a sukun. So it's the same reason, it's iltikha sakinain. Except that in these four cases, it's because the verb is majzoom, that's why that last letter becomes sakin. And in the other cases, the last letter is always sakin because it's followed by noon and niswa. Okay? But the rule, the reason for deleting the weak letter is the same because of iltikha sakinain. In these two cases, because they're majzoom, and the majzoom mudari verb always take sakin on the last letter, and in the first two cases because they end with noon and niswa, they're feminine plural, second and third person, they end with noon and niswa, and noon and niswa is always preceded by the last letter of the verb being sakin. Okay, so we also have, this is for yafa'alu, yani huwa yafa'alu, and likewise for anta taf'alu or hiya taf'alu. Okay, this form of the verb also becomes يعني أنت تقول. If it becomes مجزوم, you say أنت تقول. التقاء ساكنين, you change it to أنت لم تقول. لم تقول. And the same thing, تصير لم تصير, تنام لم تنام. As far as the first person singular, أفعل. You say, أنا أقول. If you make it مجزوم, لم أقول. You have واو with سكون followed by لم with سكون. So it becomes لم أقول. أنا أقول. أنا لم أقول. أنا لم أسير. From أسير. أنا أسير. لم أسير. أنا أنام. لم أنام. And then we have the first person plural form, naf'alu, nahnu naf'alu. So you say, nahnu naqulu. If you make it majzoom, it becomes naqul. Iltiqa sakinain, you delete the waw, nahnu naqul. Nahnu lam naqul, I mean, nahnu naqulu, or nahnu lam naqul. نحن نسير نحن لم نسير نحن ننام نحن لم ننام. In each case, for the third person يفعل يعني هو يقول or أنت تقول or أنا أقول and نحن نَقُولُ. And these forms of the verb, these four forms, we're going to have this additional irregularity, and this omission is due to إِلْتِقَاءُ السَّاكِنَيْنِ, the meeting of two sakin letters. And then they explain, لَمْ يَقُولُ is originally لَمْ يَقُولُ. You see the إِلْتِقَاءُ السَّاكِنَيْنِ. Here both wow, the weak letter, and lam are sakin, vowelless, so the weak letter waw is omitted. Same thing, lam yasir is originally lam yasiru. So you see, the ya has sukun and the ra has sukun. Here both ya, the weak letter, and ra, the last letter, are sakin, so the weak letter ya is omitted. And the same thing with lam yanam is originally lam yanam. And you see the alif, weak letter, has sukun. The last letter of the verb, meem, has sukun. So here both the aleph, which is the weak letter, and the meem, which is the last letter, both of them are sakin, so the weak letter aleph is omitted. And I think this is clear. I don't know if you memorized the rule, but you got the principle. As long as you understand the principle, you can always go back to it.
Yeah.
This will require, as I said last week, it will require doing the exercises. You must do the exercises. If you do them once or twice, or three times, the more you do them, the better it will be for you. It will become more clear, and as I said, your brain and your tongue will become yani accustomed to a certain way that this word should be read. If you read it wrong, it will automatically sound like something is wrong. If you say it wrong, you will hear it. Okay, as far as the fil amr, and this is the end of what we want to say about these verbs, these mu'tal ajwaf verbs. This is the last point. You can just stay focused for a little bit longer. We'll be finished with the ajwaf now, inshallah. We're going to something easier. In the fil amr, A, the second radical is omitted at the time of isnad of the verb to the mustatir and the mutaharrik pronouns. In both cases, if the pronoun is mustatir or whether it is mutaharrik, in both cases, when the verb is connected to the pronouns, the second radical, which is the weak letter, will be omitted, will be deleted, will be left out. Okay, so for example, with the verb qala yaqulu, we have qul for the singular. It should have originally been, listen to what it should have been originally. It should have been qala yaqulu, should have been the second person of the verb, singular should have been taqulu, taqulu. If you delete the harf mudari, ta, it becomes qulu. If you make the last letter sakin because it's fi'l amra, then it becomes qul. Qaf, dhamma, waw, lam with sukoon. That's iltiqa sakinin, so the waw is deleted. From qul, we say qul. Okay? That's for the singular form. As far as the plural form, antum is qulu. Feminine singular, qulī. Feminine plural, qulna. Qulna. Sir, originally it is sara yasiru. Sara yasiru. So to make the fi'l amr, you say tasiru. Delete the ta, becomes siru. You make the ra sakin, it becomes sir. Sukoon on the ya and sukoon on the ra. So the ya is deleted. Sir, siru, siri, sirna. And nam is also from the verb nama yanamu. The fi'l amr is derived from tanamu. Delete the ta, it becomes namu. If you make the last letter meem sakin, it becomes nam. So you have alif with sukoon, meem with sukoon, you delete the weak letter, it becomes nam. Namu, nami, nam, na. Okay, these are the four forms of the fi'l amr, right? All of them are second person masculine and plural, second person masculine plural. Then you have second person feminine singular and second person feminine plural. So you have four forms of the fi'l amr. All of them are for the second person when you're directly speaking to somebody, whether it's singular or plural, masculine or feminine. These four forms are produced in this similar manner. Qul, sir, and nam. There's no need to add hamza to wasl at the beginning of the amr, as it does not commence with the second letter as we do with other verbs. When we make the fil amra, we have to add hamza to wasl because the verb begins with a sakin. In this case, there's no sakin letter in the beginning, so we don't have this problem. Okay, turn the page to page 89. From taqulu, they're showing here how the fil amra is derived from the second person singular masculine taqulu. We get, if you delete the ta, the harf mudari, it becomes qul, and you see obviously there's iltiqa sakinin in the waw and the lam. After omitting the initial ta and the final dhamma, making it sakin, you get qul, and this is changed to qul because of iltiqa sakinin. From tasiru, we get, after you delete the ta, you get sir. It should have been, yani they should have first shown when you delete the ta, you get siru. And then you make the last letter sakin, and that's when you get sir, which is changed to sir when you delete the weak letter ya. And from tanamu we get, after you delete the ta, you get namu. If you make the last letter sakin, you get nam, which is iltiqa' sakinain. So delete the weak letter aleph and you get nam. And this is the end of the ajwaf, both types, and the irregularities that come with the mudari, and the irregularities that come with the mudari when it's marfoon, as opposed to the irregularities that come with the mudari, come with the mudari verb when it's majzoom. Four additional irregularities, and then the fi'l amr. So this is basically really what we are concerned about in this lesson. There are some other things that are also of importance. Are there any questions about what remains in the key? Points number 2 through 8. Are there any questions about them? Or shall we just read them? I know we didn't go over them, but we had for homework, we were supposed to go over them for homework. That's what I mean by that. Are there any questions? No problem, we'll go over them now. Huh? You said skip it? Ibrahim says don't skip it. He says don't skip it. You made neutral? You don't know if you're going to skip it or not. Alright, look, let's just go through it quickly, right? Let's go through it quickly. If there's anything that you have a question about, I'll explain it in detail. If there's no question, we'll just read it straight through, alright? No, we're going to just finish the rest of the key. But these points are secondary points, okay? I mean, they're important, but I'm just saying, you know, we might be a little tired now. This lesson is quite, you know, it requires a lot of focus and attention, and it's hot, and we're fasting. It's better to stop now? Okay, I mean, I don't mind stopping now, but only with one condition. We can stop now, with the condition that you make a commitment to read it carefully for homework. Okay, that you have to read it for homework. And second condition is, if anything is not clear, that you have to, beginning of the next class, we have to go over whatever is not clear. Okay, whatever is not clear, inshallah, we go over in the next class. But I want you to read it carefully, and I want you to look at the exercises that deal with these points in the lesson. The exercises deal with them, make sure it's clear to you. And inshallah, next week, hopefully we'll start with the text for this lesson, and if necessary we'll look at these remaining points. So what you should be doing now is reading what we just got finished going over. You should be doing for homework, you should be reading it over a few times during the week. My suggestion to you is to read each point separately. Yeah, I need to look at the ajwaf verb in sections. Okay, there's two types of ajwaf verb. There's wawi and there's yai. Okay, look at them separately. Study them separately. Look at the examples. Go to the lesson itself and see the examples that they gave you and start looking at them. And you just do one at a time. One section at a time. Okay, look at the fatha, dhamma verbs that they gave, the examples here that they gave here. And then look into the text of the lesson itself. Because they're going to separate the exercises for each part of the lesson. So look at what they gave there, try to look at the exercises there. Then go to the second type of ajwaf verb. That is, those that have fatta kasra and kasra fatta. And look at each of them separately. The examples that they gave for each of them and the exercises that they gave for each of them separately, one at a time. If you do it like that, you'll find it much easier. Okay? Look at fatta dhamma verbs. Look at the examples that they gave them. They gave a lot of examples. Then they gave exercises for them. Look at those exercises. Look at the conjugation of them. Do it as one section by itself. Then do fatta kasra. Look at the examples they gave for them. Look at the exercises they gave for them separately. Then do kasra fatta verbs. Look at the examples they gave for them. Look at the exercises they gave for them. Do one at a time. If you do one at a time, it will be much easier. It will be much easier. Okay, when we go through in the class, inshallah, we'll do it like that. But I'm saying for you, for homework right now, if you do it like that, when we go over in the class, believe me, it will be a lot easier. You won't find so much confusion in your mind, because each one separately, you will understand what's its rules, how it works. You see a lot of examples of them. You see the conjugation of the verbs. And when you start doing the exercises for one at a time, it's easier. When you do one at a time. But if you want to do fatha dhamma and fatha kasra and kasra fatha all at one time, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bik. Do as you like. This is my advice to you. Take them one at a time. Do the exercise for each one at a time before you go to the next one. When we come back to class, inshallah, when we do them like that separately, it will be a lot easier for you. And I can't guarantee that it's going to be easy, but it will be a lot easier than if you try to just go straight through the lesson, all of them at one time. It's going to be much more difficult like that. Naam, ya rahmakallah. Okay, so inshallah, so part of the homework is to go back through the key, what we just covered, and to look at the exercises and the dialogue separately, one section at a time, and to finish the rest of the key. Because there are some points in here that perhaps, might not be totally clear, and there are some important things in here. So inshallah, it's enough for one day, inshallah, alhamdulillah. We covered a lot of material in this lesson. And as I said, this lesson is one of the more difficult. So in this whole book, this lesson and the next lesson are probably the two most difficult lessons in the whole book. This lesson and the next lesson. Okay? So inshallah we take our time. We don't have to finish in 1 week. Yeah, the numbers also. But to me, this is even more difficult than the numbers. Not only that, but it's more important than the numbers. Because you can get away with the numbers. Like people, normally Arabs, they don't use the rules for numbers anyway. So you can get away with that. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you get away with it. It's better that you learn them properly. But this, you can't get away with this. You really be messing up stuff if you don't understand this. You definitely be messing up stuff. So this is very important. It's a very, important part of the language is verbs. These verbs are irregular verbs. They have a lot of irregularities. And it's kind of, in the beginning, it's quite difficult. But once we finish the lesson, if we review it again the next time, it will be easier. If you work with them more, it will be easier. And time, when it sinks in, it will become easier and easier. Until after a while, khalas. Yani, the verb forms, they almost don't, you almost can hear it in your head when you're saying it wrong. You almost can hear it in your head. And sometimes your tongue will not pronounce it wrong. Like you'll stop in the middle of the word. Because it won't sound right. But that's after time, when you get used to it. Like now, we're hearing some of these things for the first time. Maybe some of these verbs we've never seen before. Maybe we never heard them before. Some of them we may have heard, but we're not really that familiar with it. So it's brand new, and it's a lot of information all coming together. So it's incumbent upon you to help yourself by doing some extra work.